Take off your jacket, because it's time to get deep under the covers with a loose read.
Morena, Jenna.
Morena.
How are you, Gina? This morning?
I'm really great.
Yeah?
It's such a nice weekend.
Yeah.
Especially because we had New Zealand Bookshop Day.
Oh, yeah.
It's done and dusted.
I heard it was a real party.
It was really sweet. It was so lovely, and everyone, it seemed like the country celebrated well. People really knew it was Bookshop Day, and we had our reading raves, I went to the afternoon rave, and it was one of the most wholesome experiences of my life. It was so sweet. Just reading company for 2 hours with some ambient music. We had this list curated by DJ Mellowpuff.
Awesome.
And we just read, and I really cracked into the book that I was reading, which was great because I was just on a little, you know how sometimes when you're reading and you have a little niggly bit and you just need to get over the hump and
you need to just sit down and just
I needed like a really clear-minded moment. And so after the rave, I felt like I had just had a long massage or something. That was feeling. So we are going to get some feedback from, we're going to reach out to the ravers for feedback and then and hopefully do them more because it was just really nice.
Imagine feeling like you've had a massage after a rave.
I know.
Reading rave could make you feel like that.
And then and getting them outside in summer and stuff. How can we do that? So
That is so cool. And also like the power of community helped you like battle your way to the crux of the novel, which
and people say like you could just read by yourself at home, right? Which is true.
Yeah.
But I think reading in company, you're setting an intention, you're being held accountable because you're like kind of reading on display.
Yeah.
And and then you have that community together. It was really cute seeing strangers be like, oh, what were you reading at the end when we were it was really sweet.
That's adorable. Lovely. What have we got to talk about today?
I've got this great book, a great Irish read.
Another one.
Bear with me with the surname of this author, but her name is Ní Mí Whelan.
Ní Mí Whelan.
This is her debut novel. She was born in Ireland, spent a lot of time living in London, and now lives in Edinburgh. Mm-hmm. And this is a really great read about grief, family, faith, and queer identity. This book was inspired by Niamh saw this story, which you guys might have seen in October 2020, where this young 15-year-old Italian boy who died of leukemia was beatified to become a saint.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just, this is just a side note, like he's known as like God's influencer because he created these websites cataloging Eucharistic miracles. And then he became beatified, that's the word, which is the penultimate step before you become a saint. So this is the starting point of where Niamh was inspired for this book. I just think it's like modern day Catholicism. It's quite cool. So this is about a character called Jay. She's in her late 20s. She lives in London. She hasn't lived in Ireland for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And she's really disconnected from her family. She doesn't talk to them very much. She has close friends, but there is this big wall up, and a big thing she hasn't told them was that her brother, when she was 16, her brother died in this terrible accident. His name was Ferdia, and she gets a phone call from her parents saying that he is being considered for a saint and the family are putting him up for sainthood. When he died, he was living in Rome. He was like, you know, go in priest training.
Mm-hmm.
And they were genuinely close, even though they had quite different outlooks on life. And so she, in this experience, she not only has to, she has to revisit her past, her relationship with her Catholic upbringing, the relationship with her brother. And of course, this is all coming up, you know, she's starting to have to reveal her true self to her friends and not, you know, sort of open that door again because, a Catholic upbringing can be traumatic anyway, but within a queer identity can be very, very difficult.
Yeah, it's a whole other layer.
So I think this book is... she is a flawed character. She can be quite frustrating at times, and she is her own worst enemy. But this book is really great because it's got such a light touch to the writing, and it captures the social change in Ireland of the last, of this, the 2020s, I guess. And the writing is really funny. It's really quite kind, I think, in some ways, but it really captures those. Even when you look at her parents, who are such devout Catholics, it's not black and white. You know, there's good parts and bad parts, and there's things that they didn't do right. And so ultimately, which is very Catholic, is quite forgiving. And so I think, yeah, there's nothing more Catholic than forgiveness. So this book was, she was in the Women's Prize Discoveries group, which she was shortlisted, which is where they choose a group of writers when they've written 10,000 words of their debut novel and develop them. So she was part of that, and she was also part of the Waterstones Debut Fiction Prize for 2025. She was shortlisted for that, which is the same prize that Greta and Valden by Rebecca K. Riley was shortlisted for, I think, last year or the year before. So you know, she's a writer to look out for, and I just found it quite gentle, but I loved the Irish humour in it, and I think it's just, people talk about, have you heard about books where it's like a grey character, they're not morally, she's a bit of a grey character, not as Otessa Moshfegh grey character, but she's figuring it out.
Aren't we all figuring it out?
So there's a bit of stuff to relate to in it. So I think it's a great read. It's a great read for summer, a great gift for your Catholic, your friend that went to Catholic school.
Those Irish authors just like wrap up the Catholic guilt so nicely.
Oh, absolutely. It's a strange, because I only went to Catholic primary school, but it's such a strange strange thing. You get told really weird stuff, like when you're really formative years. Like, it doesn't make sense. And so that really took me back to that time.
But guess the shining light in all of it is some of it might probably be a little bit like, oh, I remember that.
Yes.
You know, having had a bit of a Catholic influence myself. But stories of sainthood were always really fascinating to me.
And what was your saint name, Millie?
I didn't have one. I was baptized.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
I know.
Yeah, when you have your...
one of the intruders.
Your first communion. That's so... like, it's probably one of your first autonomy moments as a Catholic kid, as you choose your own middle name.
This is all foreign to me. I'm a bastard child.
Teresa, but was the 90s, and Mother Teresa was...
every kid in the 90s. Yeah. But I always found a story of sainthood was always, like, really kind of edible in a way. Like, they're so just, like, incredible.
Yeah, and you have these ancient cultural traditions within a contemporary story. They're still making saints? Sure, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Modern-day sainthood is fascinating. So it'll be interesting to see how it ties into this, like, what sounds like a really personal story as well.
Yeah, I think she definitely says it's not her and she's not Jade. Neve says this, but she definitely was a queer person growing up in Ireland. One to look out for, I reckon.
Fascinating. And I do love Irish writing. They are so wry and witty with it.
I know. And we've had no Irish writers on the book along list this year, which is quite shocking, but
controversial.
This could be an Irish read that you pick up.
Very good. Available at Time Out?
It's on the shelf at Time Out now. Ordinary Saints by Niamh Ní Whelan. Sorry for I probably
ask
saying
at the
right.
counter.
I've been listening to it over and over again, and the letters are different than the sounds. Yeah. Yes, on the shelf now.
Very good.
Fabulous.
Well, thank you so much, Jenna.
Thank you, Jenna.
See you in a few weeks.
Bye.
That was Loose Reads.